אנחנו קוראים בספר כתבי בעל הסולם את
the writings of of בעל הסולם, the introduction to the study of the ten sefirot. We are in item 105. You can ask questions on our website cup.tv. Selected questions will be asked during the lesson. Again, reading from the writings of בעל הסולם, the introduction to the study of the ten sefirot, item 105.
ניקח קטע עוד לפני.
We'll go back an item.
אנחנו נמצאים בטור ב' למעלה פסקה
Let's go to 104.
Okay, so reading item 104. It has been thoroughly clarified how it is possible to attain the first degree of love, which is unconditional love. We learned that even though there is no reward for a mitzvah in this world, the attainment of the reward for the mitzvah exists also in this world. This comes to a person by opening the eyes in the Torah. And this clear attainment is completely similar to receiving instantaneous reward for the mitzvah. For this reason, one feels the wonderful benefit contained in the thought of creation to delight his creations with his full, good, and generous hand. Because of the abundance of benefit that one obtains, wondrous love appears between the person and the Creator. It pours to him incessantly by the same ways and channels through which natural love appears.
And he comes to a state that he starts feeling the quality of love, something very special that he hasn't felt beforehand. And we need to not forget that love, meaning the extent of complete connection, this whole connection to something that is outside of a person, that is beyond one's ego, that is called love. Meaning, love is already a spiritual quality. And it doesn't speak of love that we have here. And in corporeal love, like we want to eat someone, like we want to swallow them up, to receive them, to consume them. However, in spiritual love, if you could imagine it like this, then we want to devote ourselves, give ourselves to ones that we love. So here it speaks of the spiritual aspect, the spiritual quality, the spiritual discernment, that a person begins to feel that he's coming out of himself towards the others, and that he truly wants to be included, to be immersed, to benefit the others. All right? Go on.
105. However, all of this comes to a person from the moment he attains onward. Yet, one does want to remember all the torment caused by the providence in concealment of the face he had suffered before he attained the above disclosure of the face, since love will cover all crimes. Nevertheless, it is considered a great flaw, even with love among people, much less concerning the truthfulness of his providence, since he is good who does good to the good and to the bad. Therefore, we must understand how one can obtain his love in such a way that he will feel and know that the Creator has always done him wondrous good since he was born and onward, that he has never nor will ever cause him an ounce of harm, which is the second manner of love.
Again, read this excerpt again.
Therefore, we must understand how one can obtain his love in such a way that he will feel and know that the Creator has always done him wondrous good, since he was born and onward, that he has never, nor will ever, cause him an ounce of harm, which is the second manner of love.
Meaning that by that he finishes all of his calculation with the Creator. From his side there are no complaints, but on the contrary, he doesn't even know how to think. Questions? Again, this is because of the light that reforms. It shines, and we start to understand this way and to feel this way. It doesn't depend on us. It depends on the light. Danny.
It's not so clear what needs to be done in order to reach that state.
We need to do and do and do daily everything we can in order to bring oneself closer to bestowal through the ten, nothing other than that, only to correctly arrange the ten, to be included in it, as if you are jumping in the water. Yes.
And this love that one feels, he's describing something wondrous here. Is that something that you simply receive, or does it come from within?
What do you mean you receive, or that it's inside? Of course you feel it inside.
Was it there, or do I get it? Or does something in my heart erupt, or...
There are no such questions.
Does it come from the Creator, or...
From the state that you go and connect to the Ten, to the extent that you reach connection to the Ten, to the extent that you're able to annul yourself, to give up on yourself towards the Ten, and this also expresses your attitude towards humanity and your attitude towards all of reality, like Rav Kook says, I would hug everyone, etc., etc. In other words, if you are in this, if you're inclined that way, then according to your inclination that's expressed specifically towards the Ten, then by that you give the Creator the ability to also take a step to, for you, to reveal within you this illumination of love. But it's only that way. That's the only way it works. Only that way. Questions? Yes.
To be included in the Ten means to also be included, to integrate with each friend or in something common. In
something common. But also it's possible through each and every friend. But again, this is on the condition that I truly invest in this. Am I with them every day of the week? Or am I a traitor? And a few times I don't feel like coming. Am I having concern throughout the day of what they feel, how they feel, what are they thinking of? Are they losing their spirit? Are they... their upliftment, what's their intention in their life, and so on. Am I willing to warm them up, and not in a way that I'm pressuring and constantly nagging them, but still that concern is the concern, the worry, the care in my heart for them, constant and rising and rising. And again, I'll say, this cannot be theoretical. This is on the condition that I fulfill the external conditions. That's it. Okay? That's clear. All right, let's continue.
Item 106.
From this item, therefore we must understand, from this paragraph, from this point, he delves deeper in. Read again, therefore we
must. Again, reading the second paragraph in 105. Therefore we must understand how one can obtain his love in such a way that he will feel and know that the Creator has always done him wondrous good, since he was born and onward, that he has never done nor will ever cause him an ounce of harm, which is the second manner of love. Item 106. To understand this, we need the words of our sages, who said, one who repents from love, his sins become as merits. It means that not only does the Creator forgive his sins, he also turns each sin and transgression he has made into a mitzvah.
Meaning a person did and did and did everything he had in his ability to do, in connection, in a group, in dissemination, in everything, in order to give a complete form of expression to his love in whatever he's capable of, in his state, towards the group, towards humanity, towards everything. That he wants to see everyone according to his degree, according to how he sees it corporeally, right? He wants to see them as the system of Adam HaRishon. That everyone is connected. Everyone is ready to be a vessel for revelation of the Creator. And from these efforts, he reaches a state that he truly suddenly illuminates it. Love, which he did not think of. He couldn't even imagine it. Or what it is, because he never had the opportunity to come out of himself towards the others. That there is me, and there is others, and this barrier between he couldn't skip over, he couldn't cross it. And suddenly, when love appears, then he sees on the opposite that he is here and his love is there. And then he begins to recognize what this spiritual force is, the opposite of the ego. Yes? Go on, Yochai.
Teacher, according to what he writes here, we are now in an act of bestow. The entire correction is only in changing my appreciation, changing my taste. So why do these things take years?
Because you need to add and add and add until you've reached this portion, you fulfill this portion of exertion. And now as well, we do everything, but the thing is not in the actions, the thing is with the intentions. That in your intention, you are not yet prepared to do it in favor of the others, to do everything in favor of the others. You're not capable, and spirituality is built entirely on that. We are at a very, very thin slice of all of reality, where we, as if we exist, we live, and in truth this is considered that we were as dreamers, that we think we're living in this world, that we have such a reality, we go, we work, we get married, we have children, we do everything, all of this is a dream. What does it mean it's a dream? It's not the true reality, but it only seems that way to us. It's like in an imaginary world. And slowly, slowly, this imaginary world, those that are still on that degree, they begin to attain, to find that it's something that's not normal, something that's unrealistic, it's unreal, it can't even exist at all. Look at the world and how it exists, or what happens to us, and how can it be? Right? So slowly, slowly, we begin to advance towards states of wanting to see the real reality. And we're willing to understand that the real reality is entirely outside of us. It's to bestow. Yes?
Teacher, in bestow, the reward is an act of bestow, right? It doesn't matter what it is. We don't even care about the results, right? Rather, if you can...
Yes, to bestow is in itself a reward.
So each day we're getting this reward, right? Each day we are in an act of bestow, and reward in bestow is more bestow, right?
if you are willing to live only from being given the opportunity to bestow, and this action of bestowal without any other reward, but the action itself for you is the reward, and you demand nothing other than that, then you are already in spirituality.
So I'm asking, why is this not revealed? Rather, it takes...
Because you are still without your... Without your ability to change it, you are demanding a different kind of reward.
Are there a few eyes? Because the Creator can change this eye in a minute. So are there several eyes that need to change, or is this eye divided into a few?
To infinite number of parts. Through your part to all of the parts of the soul of Adam HaRishon. You are included in all of the parts of the soul of Adam HaRishon, and that's why there is work in order to be included more and more and more in everyone. But the direction is correct. Okay? Good. Who else? What?
Italy.
Buongiorno Rav. Siamo abituati alle nostre sensazioni piacevoli in questo mondo, ma quale sensazione qui dovremmo cercare e come questa può diventare un'urgenza? Quale grido dobbiamo fare per il Creatore?
אנחנו מורגלים להרגשות שיש used to the feelings that we have in this world, you know, good feelings, but what feelings should we search for here in this case? Towards which outcry should we prepare ourselves? Which outcry to the Creator?
Our problem is that we are incapable of believing to the words of the sages, that they tell us that only through the connection between us, when we break through these barriers between us, then we can feel the complete reality, which is spiritual, a reality where everything is one, that's borderless. There's no divisions there, there's no parts. And to try and break our reality and to transition into the upper reality, all we need to do is through the connection between us. And if we attempt to do that through the connection between us, we reach a state that we're incapable, and we discover that, we find that. And then we cry out, and Israel sighed from the work. And their cry went up to the Lord, and then we are rewarded with exiting this state, with Exodus. And that is what we're in. But for that, we need to try to connect in the current states. And although we understand that we're incapable of doing it, but to reach a state that we want and aren't capable, until we burst out into this outcry, and they have sighed from the work, that they cry out in a way that this cry, it opens the door for us. And this cry, we still have not yet reached it. There are those that run away, that stay at home, that don't come to the prayer here. There are those that don't want to make the lesson into a prayer, and so on. There is no concessions here that can be made. There are no concessions here. We can shorten the path in the enslavement of Egypt only on the condition that we feel how this is a burden on us, and we're not agreeing, we're not willing to stay. And in Egypt there are many such temptations that are convincing us to stay. Why not? We know what happens in the world. We don't understand that it's good to be this way. We're like everyone else. But in addition, we have an understanding of the world, of the spiritual world, etc., etc. If we agree to that, we can arrange our lives like some kind of university or class that we are standing and appearing in front of everyone, and everyone's looking at us. Look, they're studying. Oh, God forbid. We need to add and add exertion to exit this state, to see this state, which is the worst possible state, and although by that we're more sublime than the others, but we're the worst. Only that Egypt will not swallow us in, consume us completely. Okay? Go on.
Item 107. Hence, after one is rewarded with the illumination of the face to such an extent that each sin he had committed, even the deliberate ones, is turned and becomes a mitzvah for him, one rejoices with all the torment and affliction he had ever suffered since the time he was placed in the two states of concealment of the face. This is because it is they that brought him all those sins, which have now become mitzvot by the illumination of his face, who performs wonders. And any sorrow and trouble that drove him out of his mind, and he failed with mistakes, as in the first concealment, or failed with sins, as in the double concealment, has now become a cause and preparation for keeping a mitzvah and the reception of eternal and wondrous rewards for it. Therefore, any sorrow has turned for him into a great joy, and any evil to wondrous good.
It doesn't matter what happened in the past, what he failed, what he did, all the troubles and problems he had in this world, no matter with what and who and how. In general, everything he now sees that he had to go through that from within his nature, from his starting point, that this is from the body of Adam HaRishon, he had to go through these states, and as soon as he crossed them, then he necessarily, he did it without choice. And everything he failed in, and etc., there are no calculations. They're in the past, and they're not on his own account. They're on the account of the system, on the account of the landlord, of the boss. And then he is rewarded with love. Again. Again, 107.
Hence, after one is rewarded with the illumination of the face to such an extent that each sin he had committed, even the deliberate ones, is turned and becomes a mitzvah for him, one rejoices with all the torment and affliction he had ever suffered since the time he was placed in the two states of concealment of the face. This is because it is they that brought him all those sins, which have now become mitzvot, by the illumination of his face, who performs wonders. That just like the Creator created the concealment for him, and therefore a person failed with everything that he had on his path, now he understands that it all happened deliberately from above. And why? There is no righteous in the land who has done good but did not sin before. All of these sins, he had to go through them and to fall in them and to fail in them, so that later on he can correct them.
And any sorrow and trouble that drove him out of mind, and he failed with mistakes, as in the first concealment, or failed with sins, as in the double concealment, has now become a cause and preparation for keeping a mitzvah, and the reception of eternal and wondrous reward for it. Therefore, any sorrow has turned for him into a great joy, and any evil to wonderful good.
We have to discover the entire depth of the shattering and all the manners of the shattering. This is what we do, but when do we do it? When we somehow want to advance towards connection between us. And then we go through all kinds of humiliations and some kind of failure, lack of success, and then on top of them, light and connection are revealed. Okay? It's clear? Good.
Item 108. This is similar to a well-known tale about a Jew who was a house trustee for a certain landlord. The landlord loved him dearly.
A Jew is one who yearns for a connection, for unity. And the landlord is the creator, let's say. And he longs to reach him, to serve him. However, there are obstacles.
Once, the landlord went away and left his business in the hands of his substitute, who was an anti-Semite. What did he do? He took the Jew and flogged him 5 times in front of everyone to thoroughly humiliate him. Upon the landlord's return, the Jew went to him and told him all that had happened to him. His anger was kindled. He called the substitute and commanded him to promptly give the Jew 1,000 coins for every lash he had struck him. The Jew took them and went home. His wife found him crying. Fearful, she asked him, "What happened to you with the landlord?" He told her. She asked, "So why are you crying?" He answered, "I am crying because he only lashed me 5 times. I wish he had lashed me at least 10 times. Since now, I would have had 10,000 coins.
This means that when we reach the revelation of the face and look at the way that we've gone through, then we seemingly regret that path that we have taken. And it's not that we have gone through just a few humiliations and problems, but to the opposite, we regret the fact that we went through only a little bit, and it's a shame that it wasn't more, because we see how much these states that we've gone through, specifically in the falls and troubles and disappointments, how much they now helped us to discover the upper light. That according to the fall, according to the sorrow, well, yes.
Isn't this a very egoistic form?
It's actually in order to bestow. How can it be egoistic? What you see in the story is egoistic, but here we're talking about a Jew, meaning one who yearns for unity. And the master who left, so he couldn't, because he traveled away, so he couldn't yearn for unity, and so his ego jumped on him and didn't allow him to perform actions of connection. This is why, as much as he tried, it didn't work for him. This is why he received blows by performing actions that were specifically in order to receive, without the master, not in order to bestow. So after he went through all of these things, the falls, the descents, the problems, not by his own forces that he wanted to do it this way, but that's how it happened to him, because of all of his efforts, because he wanted to be good and ended up being bad. So when the master comes back, when the creator shines, he shines in such a way that specifically on top of all of these efforts of his, now he gives him a reward. Now, why can he give him such a great reward? 1,000 coins instead of for one, for each blow? Because this Jew was yearning for unity, And nevertheless, he wanted to perform acts of bestowal, but he did not succeed without the Creator. So now, when the Creator is there, the upper force is there, he can perform these actions. It is considered that he is gaining 620 times more than before.
Yeah. It's as if he cries because he didn't get more blows, instead of crying because of not having adhesion with the Creator.
Now he is sorry for it. Now he realizes that without the Creator leaving him, seemingly leaving him, and showing him the posterior, without that he wouldn't achieve such a great reward, which is 1,000 times more what he would receive, let's say. With the presence of the Creator, when the Creator doesn't shine on him and he has the concealment of the face and he tries to do some actions, then he receives, let's say, gold for each action. And if he doesn't feel the Creator whatsoever, which is the double concealment, and nevertheless he tries, but he's certainly wrong and he's making a crime because the double concealment necessitates him to, and so we all depend only on the amount of light that influences us and shines on us. And so it turns out that we find ourselves committing crimes and we suffer blows for these crimes, and it is by that person who now guards the Jew and instead of the Creator, and he gives him beatings, and he says, because you don't know how to arrange things correctly, and he beats him up, and it's rightly so. It's not that the Jew is doing a correct action. He cannot do a correct action because his landlord, his boss, is away. He's not in his attainment, so he doesn't have a choice. If there's a different ruler instead, then he is obligated to do that, and then he suffers beatings. It's like the whole world is now being beaten by seemingly a foreign force. But when it comes back, then all the vessels they have acquired by the evil ruler, they now, by the light, become correct, usable vessels. And this now seems to him as if he is receiving 1,000 gold coins for each and every crime he committed. So now he's crying for, why didn't I commit more crimes? Meaning, he's not crying about the crimes, but rather, why did I not integrate with a greater will to receive? Why wasn't I under an even greater evil rulership? Because now, when the light shines, I would come to an even higher attainment. One opposite the other. Yes.
But he could he have gotten more than 5? That's what he prepared himself for.
That's what he cries about. It's not the discussion whether he could or couldn't. The discussion is the sorrow that he has now. That's it. That's what Kabbalists explained to you. That in such a case, a person would have great sorrow for why was his path of suffering was so short. Which is what you cry for, why does it not end already? So later, afterwards, you'll cry about why was it so fast and so short? Why wasn't I disappointed and discouraged and more, and beaten up, etc.? What are you laughing at? No, that's how it is, though. But what, isn't it understood? Is it not logical?
It's understood and logical. I really relate to it. But there's a request that would be higher than that.
When you suffer blows, you can't ask for more blows. Even though that's what's written. But I can't remember There is such a story about Kabbalists, the one who had such a wife that always made it difficult for him. Why aren't you not going to make a living, to make more money and help support your family and so on? And he would invest in studying, etc. And his wife would always pressure him, and he was happy that she is so evil. So this is not something you can appreciate, because if your wife grabs you a little bit and tells you, don't go to the lesson, stay home, you'll stay. Well, just as an example, let's say it's not you. But we don't understand how all these things are guided from above. They're directed from above by all sorts of means. What can I do? Well, it's evident. It's visible. Yes.
I'm still trying to understand, what should I take from this thing that Bala Sulam gives us as an example? Let's say now there's a situation. Why isn't he asking about the future? He's crying for the past.
How can he ask for what future? The person works from what he's shown.
For now, in the next degree, maybe he should have more burdenings, but it's as if he's looking back, saying, I wish I had been beaten 10 times.
Right. First of all, he joins the past to the present, and he justifies the Creator in retrospect, and that's how he's going to advance. And afterwards, all those things are intertwined, are integrated together. Don't think that, you know, the Creator doesn't need to make a profit on you. It's all in order to expand your reason, so that you will really be above time, space, and motion, to bring you to a state where you don't take the past, present, and future into account. So then you go through these states. Wait. Soon, you'll understand how it all falls into place. All right. No one's asking about this. Everyone's willing to suffer beatings and take another 1,000 gold coins home, yeah? All right. Let's see. Let's see what's happening with you today. Yes, Moti.
I don't know even one Jew won't cry for the, he's not crying for some land they offered him in the 1960s, and it was worth nothing then, it's worth a lot now. I don't even know one.
What?
That he didn't get the blows, because his blows are now considered assets, something good in spirituality.
Because then, in corporeality, you hinge everything on your own brain. Ah, how dumb was I? I was able to buy land in Allenby Street in 10 pennies, and today it's 10 billion or whatever. But here, we're talking about a situation where it doesn't depend on you. The Creator put you through all these states, and you couldn't decide otherwise. Why did he do this? To expand your reason. Because this sorrow is an addition where you rob the will to receive and take it in order to bestow. Well, we're going to see that. Yeah.
We all went through with the woman, what you said, all those torments, each one with his root of his soul.
You didn't go through it yet. Wait.
Okay, we're ready for that as well. But the truth is, true torments, everything is forgotten, even though it was difficult and all. But the true torments are the prayers and the outcries to the Creator that are not yet answered. You're crying out, better off dead than alive, etc. Is this good that is still happening and we're not receiving it while you cry out?
You have to continue on the path, whatever happens. And then all those things come together correctly. That's it. There's no way here to make some calculations besides that despite this and this and this happening to me, I keep going. You know, like a cart that keeps going.
So what you're saying, I should always be attached to it with my prayers and all.
That can't change. That cannot change. The morning lesson, the group, something in the evening, a few times connecting during the day, and always how to increase the goal, which is love inside the ten, and then towards the world. And in that, the Creator is revealed as the center, the core of that love. Yes, David.
Rav, when a Kabbalist reaches such a calculation, can he still stay, not indifferent, but can he stay in this state, or must he incorporate the whole world and to see the people who are not reaching his state and out of that to help them advance? Because it sounds as if some Kabbalists were crying for the how long the exile is and why.
But they weren't able to do anything before that in their time, because in their time they didn't have an opportunity to work towards the world. Even maybe just in their little circle, maybe they had a few friends who engaged in that. Like, say, the Ari had a few students, or the Ramchal had a few students, and everyone else were pressuring them.
So take a Kabbalist, for instance, like Ramchal or Bala Sulam. When they reach their high degree, they see the whole world from one end to another. Still, they act in order to promote the world in a way of, in a faster way, or to spare the sufferings, the blows.
Of course they would do that. Ramchal would teach people from the nations of the world in Europe. In those times, whoever wanted to study, he would teach him. Such a great Kabbalist. Rabash was very impressed by him. They say he even gave a few talks to the Pope.
So, out of what calculation do Kabbalists perform their actions of enhancement, hastening, trying to spare the sufferings of humanity? For what reason? If they see that every such blow gives you great reward, so what's the feeling that motivates them to help the world advance, not to get the trouble?
It's written that despite the blows, we do advance, but we must not respect the blows. Rather, we need to advance above the blows. That's not our path. Like in religions, all religions appreciate suffering. That's not the case here. We don't appreciate the suffering. What we need to do, we want to do it in the best possible way. We do prefer to avoid corporeal troubles and only have spiritual suffering. Not to remain in spiritual suffering, to sense the spiritual suffering and correct it. But corporeal suffering, as much as you can, corrected at the source.
So the difference between corporeal sufferings and spiritual ones?
Spiritual suffering you must correct. Corporeal suffering, if you can avoid it, avoid it.
Thank you.
Yes.
Previously you said, why wasn't I in a greater evil control and incorporated in a bigger will to receive? The way I hear all the time, we hear about our study is an increasement of the will to receive.
Yes.
So, we do put ourselves into such states.
We don't put ourselves into anything. We are always drawn to exit the will to receive, into the will to bestow, to be connected between us, achieve connection between us, and thereby achieve that central force of connection, which is the Creator, which is complete bestowal. And we don't want to increase the will to receive, no. Who said I need to increase the darkness, the separation? No. I don't need that. All I want is to draw the light. Now, by the light, I will reveal how more separation and troubles and problems exist. But whatever the light shines on, that's what the light does. I only push towards connection and bestowal.
So what do you mean by incorporating myself in a bigger will to receive?
I don't remember what you're referring to. What did we talk about that I said that? If I yearn for the light, then of course I'm integrated with a greater will to receive, to achieve a greater light. You have to listen to the lesson a few times. Otherwise, you're going to come out with such conclusions that, I don't know, you're just getting a lesson here and a sentence here and a word there, and then you end up with a whole new teaching. It doesn't work this way. I hear this sometimes from people, and I'm amazed by how do they take this from my words. And then afterwards they say, yeah, but you said this and this and that, and you said this and you said that. You know, you get stuck on a few minutes here, on another few sentences there, and you put it together. It's not going to work this way. All right. Good. Let's go forward.
Item 109. Now you see that after one has been awarded repentance of the iniquities, in a way that the sins became to him as merits, one is then awarded achieving the second degree of love of the Creator, where the loved one never caused his loved one any harm, or even a shadow of a harm. Instead, he performs wondrous and plentiful good to him, always and forever, in a way that repentance from love and the turning of the sins into merits come as one, as in the words of our sages.
But it changes our mind, where past, present, and future begin to be completely felt in new discernments, new qualities that we have. And therefore, we can incorporate them together. Again, 109.
Now you see that after one has been awarded repentance of the iniquities, in a way that the sins became to him as merits,
meaning as mistakes and then as merits,
one is then awarded achieving the second degree of love of the Creator, where the loved one never caused his loved one any harm, or even a shadow of a harm. Instead, he performs wondrous and plentiful good to him, always and forever, in a way that repentance from love and the turning of the sins into merits come as one, as in the words of our sages.
You can say, what causes what? If I see the Creator didn't do anything bad to me, but it just seemed to me it was like some sort of a dream, and I discover that He only did good to me, and He loves me, He loved me in all incidents, in all the situations, and that's why I love Him, then this is conditional love. How do we come to unconditional love? Let's continue.
Item 110. Thus far, we examined only the two degrees of conditional love. Yet, we must still understand how one is awarded coming in the two manners of unconditional love with one's Maker.
Meaning we have to realize that even though I justify the Creator in everything, and I realize He didn't do anything bad to me, and I love Him in heart and soul, just like the will to receive can cling to whoever gives him benefit, or it's like a baby that clings to its mother in every sense. But that's not the goal, because then I depend on how much fulfillment I received from the Creator. Can I be bonded with the Creator, love the Creator, without any connection to how much I receive from Him, but rather because I appreciate His nature, His quality of bestowal? That this is what I love, regardless of whatever I get from Him. Do I need to be emptied from all the benefit He gave me and whatever knowledge that He gave me, anything good, and that I develop only in a way that I discover how sublime is the quality of bestowal without any connection to myself? I don't have any empty place, full place, there's no good or bad attitude to me. I want to love Him, not in my vessels at all. But how is that possible? What do I need to receive in addition to my nature so that I can then judge the Creator and feel Him as good that does good above all? That the quality of bestowal, His attitude, is if unrelated to myself. So in what vessels, in what qualities can I be in contact with Him? Is the question clear? All right, let's see what he writes.
We are in item 110. For this, we must thoroughly understand the words of our sages, who said, our sages said, one must always regard himself as half guilty and half innocent. If he performs one mitzvah, happy is he, for he has sentenced himself to the side of merit. If he commits one transgression, woe unto him, for he has sentenced himself to the side of fault, as was said, and one sinner, etc. Rabbi Elazar, son of Rabbi Shimon, says, since the world is judged by its majority, and the individual is judged by the majority, if he performs one mitzvah, happy is he, for he has sentenced himself and the whole world to the side of merit. If he commits one transgression, woe unto him, for he has sentenced himself and the whole world to the side of fault, as was said, and one sinner, etc. For this one sin that he had committed, the world and he have lost much good.
Okay, well, do you still grasp what we're learning? Can we keep going, or you're already too tired? Who's in favor of continuing this? And who's too tired? Don't be ashamed. Dudi's tired. You too, or you want to ask? Yes.
Rav, what's the difference between a sin and a transgression? Because what he writes here is a complete opposite.
Where is it written that you are saying?
He writes here that we have to understand thoroughly. For this we must thoroughly understand the words of our sages. One must always regard himself as half guilty, half innocent. If he performs one mitzvah, happy is he, for he sentenced himself for a side of merit. If he commits one transgression, woe unto him, because he has sentenced himself to the side of fault, one sinner, etc. Then he talks about a sin, that one sinner, for this one sin he had committed, I'm in the next paragraph, the world and he have lost much good. So here he says that the sin causes much good to have been lost. And a moment ago we said that the transgression for that he gets, it becomes a mitzvah, it becomes something good. So what's the difference between a transgression and a sin?
I don't know. We'll wait for tomorrow. What else can we learn? I see that there is real tiredness from the topic. You can't be focused anymore. The gate of intentions, okay. Good.
Before that, let's sing a song together.
בזמן שמתחילים לגלות את אהבת חברו תכף מתעוררת בו הרגשת שמחה ותענוג ברגע שמגלה שחברו דואג עבורו הוא כבר אינו יכול לדאוג עבור עצמו, עבור עצמו רק כשיש אהבת כלות הנפש כל אחד הולך בעולם שכולו טוב רק שיש אהבת כלות הנפש כל אחד הולך בעולם שכולו טוב נשחקים הלבבות אפילו שיהיו של איתנים ומקירות ליבו מוציא חמימות ואהבה ברגע שמגלה שחברו דואג עבורו הוא כבר אינו יכול לדאוג עבור עצמו, עבור עצמו רק כשיש אהבת כלות הנפש כל אחד הולך בעולם שכולו טוב רק כשיש אהבת כלות הנפש כל אחד הולך בעולם שכולו טוב אחד הולך בעולם שכולו טוב רק שיש אהבת לא את הנפש כל אחד הולך בעולם שכולו טוב רק שיש אהבת לא את הנפש כל אחד הולך בעולם שכולו טוב רק שיש אהבת לא את הנפש